tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this Bisma, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is a getting the macabre dance, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
The people here, Shaku Maku, everyone. It's a rainy Friday afternoon in the city of Lagos. You're on to 99.3 Nigeria Info's Public Square together with Rotimi Sankore. How's the week been like? I hear this probably the 7-day rain is what we call it. And so if you're counting, depends on what part of the world you're in or what local government you're in. Begin the count until 7, where you have no more rains morning through the night. But today's Public Square is going to be covering an emerging and fast-moving situation, which is the announcement by NLC and the TUC, mobilization for what they describe as a one-day warning strike, probably as soon as next week or the week after. And the reasons given include unresolved ASUU strike, rising diesel costs, rising aviation fuel cost, repeated grid collapses, high food prices, etc., lack of progress on local government autonomy. Rotimi Sankore and I will take a look and take you through the development, and we expect some labor leaders will join the program to help elaborate. Remember, you can interact with the program at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Gogo Obo, at Nigeria Info FM. On WhatsApp, it's 08095975805. All right, we have Rotimi joining our data and policy expert. Rotimi, are you there?
Yes, please.
Oh, great. Excellent. I thought you still hadn't. Right. So, a fast-moving story. So, just before I came in, I'd had to get through to a number of labor leaders. So, unfortunately, they are all from Yakub Denja to Emmanuel Ogbuadjo, who is the general secretary of NLC, who says he's on his way out of town. But they will, he says he will hopefully be able to join in next week. And I joked with him. I said, you guys have sharpened your swords for a strike. Well, he said he hopes that the government will deal with these problems, and so they will avert a major strike in 2 weeks. So quite a lot rhythm happening in quick time.
Yes. I mean, this is really a very interesting development. You know, citizens have mixed views about the NLC leadership.
Right.
I mean, some people think that they back, they don't bite.
Uh-huh.
Some people have a lot of faith in them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, some people. So yeah, some people think they are not like NLC of old,
right?
Which when they say some things, they mean it and they follow through,
right?
So this is a bit of a surprise,
uh-huh,
for many people. This announcement overnight that they've instructed the affiliates, not just the NLC, the TUC, and in particular, NOLGE, the local government union.
Right.
Because while the NLC and TUC are focusing on rising diesel costs, the unresolved ASUU strike,
right,
NOLGE in particular is unhappy about the absence of local government autonomy.
Mm.
And this very slow progress on the constitutional amendments for administrative and financial autonomy. So as we understand it, they have asked members to mobilize for a one-day industrial action next week or the week after, and that they will update us consequently. Now, nobody is clear what this means. Maybe they are trying to avoid the Salah holiday, you know, I mean, or maybe they think the government will call them and say, okay, you know, what are your demands? We accept everything, or, you know. It's not clear at all. It's not clear at all.
Right.
So I'm sure that is what we know.
All right. And so we're going to go through some of these issues. Many of the issues are not unknown to us. We've lived through them. So we can begin to unpack, and hopefully in the week, the next week, we can have the Labour leadership also in the square to help us understand the amount of progress they hope to see before they embark on the strike, or avert the strike altogether if you're convinced that the progress has been made. So I think for the benefit of the listening audience, we can go through what the reasons for this planned industrial action wrote to me.
Go ahead.
Yes. And so we can then look at, you know, delve into their minds and also understand for ourselves how they have had to resort to industrial action to resolve this, to resolve all of these problems.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're asking me, why do I think they have had to resort to industrial action?
Exactly.
Okay, well, I mean, let us look at the specific reasons to understand why there is the unresolved ASUU strike, as I hope everyone understands.
Right. We might as well throw in Rotimi the entire education sector, because even as we speak, the Polytechnic and the senior lecturers are all in the mix now.
Yes, okay. So education sector, but in particular ASUU.
Right.
Okay, so we hope everybody understands that the ASUU strike is over an agreement signed by previous government with ASUU to revitalize the education sector. And that agreement is for 200 billion a year.
Right.
Over,
over six years. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, the government with which ASUU signed the agreement, at the time that ASUU announced what they were calling for, I recall that that government said, oh, in fact, that the money was too much and that they needed to set up a joint committee to look into the state of the universities, that is the state of the laboratory, the library, the equipment, the learning conditions, hostels and things. They now went around the universities, and the outcome was that, in fact, what ASUU was requesting was not enough. I hope everybody remembers this. So the agreement was, in fact, that what ASUU was requesting to revitalize university was not enough. After having said that it was too much, the joint committee found it was not enough. And that was how that $200 billion a year over the 6 years was agreed. Now, to implement became a problem. And the failure to implement has led to the deterioration and collapse of our education system year on year. I mean, just to give an example, when I went to uni in UI, in my hall,
right,
we were two in a room. And we were complaining that the people before us were one in a room and that it was unacceptable.
Right.
If you go to any university now, I bet you, you will find 6 or 10 in a room with people sleeping in the corridor and cooking beans in the room and things. I mean, we had reading desks, 2 reading desks in my room for my roommate and I, with lamps, with fan. We had space for our music system. We had space for chairs, for visitor. We had a two-person settee and 2 single armchairs plus our reading chair. I mean, it looked nice, even though we felt we were cheated and that the people before us had were one in a room.
Right.
I can't think of any university, any public university in Nigeria today, where at least all from all the evidence, please, students can call and enlighten us.
Yeah.
It is 6, 8, 9, 10 in a room, people sleeping on mats in corridor,
right,
cooking beans in the room, in the corridor, and all kinds of problems. So if you go to the library, you know, it is horrendous. I mean, I once worked in a university library in Nigeria, and even at that time, we thought it was not okay. If we compare then to now, you know, the books are outdated. I mean, as for the laboratories,
right,
or the engineering workshops and things, I bet you engineering students have never seen a live engine. They can't fabricate anything. And so on and so forth like that. So that is what this $200 billion a year is about. Now, some of it has to do with ASUU's working condition and the method through which they are paid. Unfortunately, this is what the government has concentrated on. The previous and current governments, I mean, people like Minister Ngige especially, make it look as if, in fact, it has nothing to do with revitalization of university. They make it look as if it is just ASUU member's salary that they are talking about. Now, to compare, the government has no problem buying Tucano aircraft for $200 billion.
Right.
But for all the universities in the country, 1 year, $200 billion can be found. We don't need to talk about all the other money being duplicated, wasted frivolously. I mean, all kinds of things on refinery that don't work. If you add everything together, it's almost $1 trillion a year that nobody knows what is happening to it. They say they service the refinery, they refurbish the refinery, you know. But there was it has just ended, a global conference on education where our own education people went as well in Paris. It just ended this week. And one of the agreements there was that every country is only as good as the investment in education. In other words, the industrial growth of any country, the engineers that you need for, say, NEPA, for instance, if we are to go from the 5,000 megawatts that we have to the 200,000 megawatts that we need thousands of engineers that can work on, service, maintain. We don't have, and we don't have the capacity to train them. If we're to become an industrial hub, manufacturing, we need precision technicians working in factories to make everything from cars to aeroplanes to buses to ships to TV to computer and so forth. And there's no capacity to train those kind of people in our university because the university have not been revitalized. Hence, we import everything and we import spare parts for everything. We import fridge, we import computer, we import TV, we import microwave, we import car, except for innocent. You just name it. The transformer for our electricity is imported. We can't fabricate, we can't make, we can't do anything. So essentially, that is what the revitalization should have done. And any serious government would have addressed it because that is the way to grow the economy. You can't grow the economy without an educated workforce, including university, polytechnic, secondary school, and so forth like that. So on the education matter alone, I mean, I would want to believe that I know that many of the young people just think that as soon as you just resume, let them graduate with or without skill. In fact, some of them see it as an ASU problem. They don't understand that it is the government that has refused to revitalize university.
Right. So,
and the position of ASU is like the position of doctors who say, we can't go to work where there is no medicine, where there is no lights, where there is nothing to treat the patients with.
Right.
And then when we lose the patients, the relatives hold us.
Right. We're going to touch on this.
Whereas they have to deliver baby with torchlights.
I mean, absolutely horrendous. We'll touch on these 6 points here, Ruth, before we go on the first break. And we've scattered around the ASU strike so at least the listeners can have an idea of what the real issue is. And because it's going to be important when we get to the part of what the government has to do to avert the strike. Rising diesel costs, one of several rising issues we're going to talk about. This hits hard. Very hard because businesses are bleeding as we speak. Ruth, to me.
Yes, I mean, businesses are reducing working hours because of diesel. They are reducing outputs. Those manufacturing things are reducing outputs. A lot of businesses don't use AC anymore. They are switching off air conditioners to reduce, you know, there are places you go to now, people are taking off their shirts. In the office, yes. Women can do the same. Women can take off their shirts. They can't unbutton their shirt to, you know. So if you go to places now, women are sweating, fanning themselves because they're either wearing dresses or blouses. They can't expose cleavage. It will be called indecent. I mean, men have the luxury of taking off shirt, opening button. I mean, this is how bad it is now, this diesel situation. You know, the Master Bakers Association.
All right.
Of Nigeria issued notice of possible industrial action.
Right.
Because the bakeries are about to collapse under the rising cost of diesel, not to mention the flour and the sugar and so forth like that. So, I mean, if you are talking of the diesel one, that one is going to crash the economy because people just won't be able to afford it. Even the tanker drivers that transport the diesel are complaining, and the tanker owners, that they can't afford the diesel at 800 to 1,000 a liter to transport the diesel to the stations.
Who can afford it? You know? Let's go on a pause here and allow the millions of our listeners to think about our fate And when we come back, it's the dashboard view of Nigeria in 30 minutes before we get the opportunity to also look at the analysis. Please stay with us on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
The Public Square.
All right, that's better. La buena vida. All right, we got 28 minutes to 5 on Public Square 99.3 Nigeria Info. And if you just joined in, you've missed a quarter already of the show. But better late than never, they say. And today we are focusing on a planned day of action by the Nigeria Labour Congress and the Trade Union Congress, what you otherwise know as organized labour. You've said they were too quiet or not backing, but well, it appears they have decided to back now, and the numbers for the reasons rather for their planned action is what Rotimi Sankore and I have been looking at, just to refresh your memory as to strike on ending unresolved rising diesel cost, which we were on before we went on that break, rising aviation fuel cost, just another of those rising repeated grid collapses, which is why we're using diesel instead of power to run our businesses, rising cost of food, which is responsible for the double digit inflation we're facing, and makes nonsense of talk about GDP improvement because the cost of garri and rice in the market hasn't in any way improved for the common man and woman. And then the local government employees are also going to be part of this day of actions, like a dashboard view of what is going on in the country. Ruth, before you went on the break, you asked people to talk about their experiences, and we're getting comments on WhatsApp. Peter Ayorinde from Anthony says, I schooled in Uniben and finished 2007-2008, so it's a young one compared to us, eh? We're a minimum of 16 students in a 12 by 12 a 12 by 12 room,
hey!
In hall 4. The room was designed, he says, for a maximum of 8 students. Each of us 8 had a squatter, and they were also called floaters. So wrote to me, the squatters slept sometimes on the bed with them, but the floaters didn't have anywhere to sleep. So they could sleep on the cupboards, like in my school then, university then. Or they just kept their things and, you know, walked in and walked out. No one knew where they slept, but they were called floaters. So I don't know of any other category beyond floater. And then he goes, we the masses will appreciate and you publish a document or video on YouTube where pre-election manifesto rallies and verbal responses of our leaders were publicly stated. We want to hold them accountable with their promises side by side the reality of today. I'm sure they need your hard fact reminiscing to know that they have indeed, that they have either failed or have not done their promises. All right, keep those experiences coming in. But Ruth, we still have a lot to cover before we open the phone lines, and or before we even get to, very importantly, how these problems can be resolved. So before we went on the break, we were on rising diesel cost, and you were painting the true picture of what businesses are going through, whether they are big or micro.
Yes, you know, so, I mean, there are two sides to this. We are talking about big institutions that have reduced their industrial outputs, you know, because of this matter of diesel. That is, they have reduced what they produce, which means the workers are working less, which means they will soon lay off workers. And when those workers that they laid off don't have purchasing power, then those ones too cannot buy things. And then more industries that produce goods and services will start to slow down. So that's really important. Now, one of the big absurdities is that the tanker drivers that supply the diesel and the tanker owners are complaining that even themselves cannot afford the diesel to put in the tanker to supply others with the diesel.
It's a fate worse than death.
So you can see, you can see where the supply chain is about to break down. Now, in offices across the country, when you generator is supposed to be backup.
Yeah.
Now, generator is the main light.
Yeah.
And even when the NEPA backup comes, you have to look at it for 5, 10, 15 minutes and gamble whether to switch. Because if you switch, it can go off immediately.
Yeah.
And you know, if it is in a factory,
yeah,
and you've set up your production line,
mm,
either to mix things or to cap things or to box things,
mm,
you've set up everything and the light goes off. That's yeah, it. Everything is gone. Go you on. Need to reset again. So many of them just ignore NEPA. In the offices, people are cutting back. So no AC, open the window if you have window. If you don't have window, heaven help you. And so forth like that. Now, for small businesses that run on petrol, and I better pass my neighbor,
mm,
whenever the fuel supply chain breaks down, they take the jerry can to the petrol station,
mm,
and you will see they will be chasing. We are not selling in jerry can. We are not selling in jerry can. And you'll be like, what? What do you mean you are not selling in jerry can? Well, there is no lights.
Yeah.
Then the government officials will come out and lie that, oh, these are jerry can people.
Mm.
In fact, when you sell to them in jerry can, they are exporting it to Benin Republic to go and sell at profit.
Mm.
I mean, really? Mm. How many people are engaged in that kind of thing? So they catch one bus with 20 jerry cans in it, and suddenly the whole country cannot buy a jerry can when there is no light.
Mm.
Meanwhile, note that NEPA is selling lights to Niger Republic to get in payment in dollars. I don't know if many people know this, that NEPA supplies light to our neighbors even when we don't have lights.
Mm. Mm.
I've never seen before.
So
you know, the fuel situation,
insane,
I mean, even the elites are weeping because aviation fuel,
right,
is either costing too much or not available.
Right.
So the airlines can't fly.
Right.
I mean, this is airline of 60,000-70,000 naira for tickets. They can't fly. So the elites are, unless you have private jets, you know, if you're a former governor or former big man and you've been able to buy private jets, then of course it doesn't affect you.
Mm. Mm.
But for the ordinary elites, and that is senior people in big industries and organizations and big businessmen, or ordinary politicians in quotes, ordinary in quotes, who have not been able to accumulate enough to buy jets. Say, for instance, the people called honorable.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, even with their 14 million a month, they can't buy private jets. So you have to go to the airport. And if you see them there, they are stuck in the departure lounge.
Hmm.
Twiddling their fingers. So the whole economy is slowing down. The whole economy is slowing down. So, you know, this issue of fuel, honestly, it has gone beyond understanding. Two refineries being serviced, refurbished, that don't produce one drop of fuel.
Mm.
Now, the guy in NNPC told us on Monday,
right,
that no refinery is functioning in the country, and that is how it will be for a while.
Mm.
So just brace yourself in case you had hope. Google is your friend. Check. I don't understand how people make those kind of statements.
Hmm.
Now, me, as I've been asking, why can't the substantive Minister of Petroleum help us address this matter? Because he's the president. I mean, there was a time when there was no diesel, no fuel, no aviation fuel.
Right.
And the Minister of Petroleum was flying out of the country. And people were like, you know, I mean, some of the newspapers use this cheeky photo where he's waving and smiling. Yeah, bye-bye, yo. You know, I will see you soon. You have your own.
it's insane.
So, I mean, really, 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 many people even think that the NLC is late to the party.
Hmm. A lot of people think so. But by the way, if you're sending a message, a number of people sending messages about their experiences in the university, A lot of UniBend people listen to this show. Another UniBend graduate says, in 2009, my hostel held four. We were 16 in a room of eight people. So I guess the eight extra squatters too. Extremely hard in this country, he says, about things. I think the NLC has been sleeping. They're not helping matters. So, also to someone else from Delta State University said in 2015 he graduated, we were 44 in our room.
Oh, my goodness.
We had five squatters.
Oh,
it was
my
called,
goodness.
Hostel Singapore. So, I'm sure if you graduated from Delta State University in Abraka, you perhaps know what they mean by Hostel Singapore. He says Singaporean forever, and he has the clenched fist of labor and a smile. I guess like Fela would say, chauffeuring and smiling. Oyemechi, we see you from Ajao Estate. I think you can also tell us your experiences, those of you who are running businesses too, to help us understand how you have been. Maybe we should use a Nigerian word for coping. We use the word manage, which should actually mean to handle resources better. We use manage to say coping. So tell us in quote how you've been managing your businesses in the midst of rising fuel cost and a rising diesel
now,
cost.
Let me just add one point for current students.
Right.
To understand how bad their condition is.
Right.
Now, the generation of university students before mine.
Yes.
And the older listeners remember this, you know.
Yeah.
They went on nationwide protests for, amongst other reasons. There were other reasons, though.
Right.
But one of the reasons was that the cafeteria menu,
right,
for Sunday was changed from turkey to chicken without full consultation.
Right. This was in the 70s.
Yes. Yeah, the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
Now, I mean, that was when the cafeteria system was phased out,
yeah,
by both the military, Shagari, and so forth like that.
Right.
Between 78, just after first stack, when all this big struggle started around 77, 78, 79, the time of Ali Must Go,
right,
you know, then 80, 81, 82, 83. That was the full destruction of the university cafeteria system. And if people remember, the system was a three-course meal.
Mm.
So you don't need to waste your reading time cooking.
Mm.
You just go to the cafeteria with your, depending on the year and the university, your 15, 20, 25, or 30 kobo tickets.
Right.
Just drop it. You take your first course. You know, after that, you go. You know, it was like a buffet in a three- or four-star hotel.
Mm.
The plates are washed, stacked up, everything there, the cutlery, you know. So you go there, you pick a plate, you take your first, you come back to the second one. After that, there was ice cream with different flavors. Now, we were hoping to benefit from that, going to greet friends, neighbors, senior brothers and sisters in university, because they will take us to go and eat ice cream. And I mean, by the time we got in, the system was collapsing. The system was collapsing. Now, all these people, many of them, so if they are 60, 65 years old in government today, that's what they benefited.
Yes.
That's what they benefited.
Yes.
These same people don't seem to understand the importance of $200 billion a year for all the public universities.
Right.
Now, anywhere you are, bring out your calculator. Bring out your calculator. There are about 2 million students in tertiary institutions in Nigeria. Bring out your calculator. Divide 200 billion naira by 2 million and see how much it gives you. I won't say, do it yourself and find out. Now, let me tell you that the developed country where people go and study outside Nigeria invests roughly $10,000 per student in their university system. Roughly $2,000 per student.
Look at that.
Divide that 200 billion naira by 2 million and convert it to dollars and tell us how much you found.
Wonderful.
And then you will see how terrible the situation is.
And about time we confronted it. So, Rotimi, we have high food prices. Interesting, more Uniband students are sending in. And it's great because they're sending us, Rotimi, the picture of their, you know, they're describing the picture of their hostels and their classrooms in different generations. So we've seen 2007, we've seen 2011, if I'm not wrong, or earlier than 2007. Now we have Anthony, who graduated from Uniband in 2019. He says our 400-level lecture theater was a cubicle, which was meant to contain over 80 students at full capacity. One can literally pass out while receiving lectures. Interestingly, the Uniband, University of Benin, is an Ivy League university.
Yeah.
For this country.
I mean, look, this matter concerns me personally.
Right.
Because under the military regime,
right.
I mean, in UI at the time,
yeah.
Everybody knows UI has a dam.
Hmm.
But did not have a water treatment plant.
Hmm.
So we are being supplied water with algae and all kinds of nonsense.
Right.
So my generation of student leaders led a protest for a water treatment plant, which is a no-brainer. You should not need to protest for it.
Hmm.
And for our troubles, we were rusticated from university.
Hmm. Hmm.
We were rusticated. And, you know, it took years for us to get back in university, thanks to the support of people like Olisa Agbakoba and Ganifa Wemi, who came to our rescue at the time. Because, I mean, to go from one court to the other, I mean, government will stretch it out from the high court to the appeal court, sometimes to the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
For you to be reinstated, yes.
And that's something a lot of people forget what Gani Fawemi did. I mean, he went from school to school rescuing activists, you know, and God bless his soul for what he did then.
So he eventually, when we got the water treatment plant, which cost 27 million naira at the time, I mean, the VC told us they didn't have the money.
Right.
We need to go to the Minister of Education.
Right.
We went to Minister of Education, who tried to bargain his way out of it. But eventually we got it. Eventually we got that water treatment plant.
Right.
In UI. And for our troubles, many of us were rusticated.
Hmm.
And it took years for us to get back into uni to finish.
Hmm.
Hmm. So this question of university, you know, is something that I understand very clearly. Is something I understand very, very clearly.
Absolutely. You know? So, Rotimi, do we an overview of high food price, because we're going to go on a quick break shortly. So, I don't know if you give your opening remarks first on high cost of food, and then before we go on that break.
Well, so I mean, this high food cost matter, both caused by inflation and other reasons,
right?
Like fuel costs, diesel costs. It is something that is going to lead to big problems in the country. And the open advice to the government now, pay serious attention to it, because there is nothing that causes unrest like hunger.
Hmm.
Just look at Ghana now. Ghana is in the midst of mass protests.
Very true.
Now, the real problem has not started, because this Ukrainian war has exposed how interlinked the whole world is. Between Russia and Ukraine, they produce over a third of the world's wheat supply.
Mm.
And the current crop can either not be harvested, processed, or exported, either because Ukraine is under siege or because Russia is under sanctions. And once that happens, we are talking of high bread price now. Once that happens, eventually, There may even be no wheat for the bread, and all the noodles may disappear from the markets. And if that happens, the implications will be very, very severe. So even now, the inflation, rising food costs is mainly due to petrol costs, diesel costs.
Right.
No possibility of storing the food either at an industrial level or at a personal level.
Right. And to make matters very interesting, many of the farmers have complained about their safety in many parts of the country. They can't access the farms.
Oh, yes. I mean, we haven't even come to that one. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So Richmond, I think we can go on that break, and then we come back and we delve some more. A lot of people are already asking questions around what we think, how they can be resolved. The top of the hour, right after the headlines, then we can come talk about that, and then we can open the phone lines for you on the Public Square 99.3 Nigeria in Farut. We still be together. Feta is in here already, and she's got something for us. And
about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
Youth of this country are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state. We'll be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins. Sometimes it's black, white, and blurry.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this disappointment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is engaging the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obo at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
Welcome back. It's 2 minutes past five on 99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one talk news and sports station. I'm Awogo Obo, and together with Rotimi Sankore, we're going through the biggest story, interestingly, in the last couple of hours, which has been organized labor saying that they are going to carry out a day of action over a number of reasons, which we have been analyzing in the past hour. In case you're just joining and you want to also join in the discussion, which has begun already online at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awogo Obo, any of these handles on social media, you can put out your questions or your comments. Better still, you can go on to WhatsApp at 08095975805. Again, 08095975805. And interesting comments we are still getting from people's experiences in the universities. They go to the Ivory Tower, or it was then known as the Obawumo Universities. Obafemi Awolowo University students are now on WhatsApp telling me that this one says, I graduated in 2019 in Freshers Hostel. You have 12 occupants in a room. You need to see the sort of water that is obtainable in campus. It was colored like malnourished tea. Protest didn't change a thing, I remember. Rather, it ended us indefinite breaks. He says, thank you for telling us. Okay, so we got the Ife Olajide from Ijibo talks about if you divide 200 billion by 20 million students, the Nigerian government would have spent 10,000 naira on each student. I was in the University of Ibadan between 1983 and 1986. I was not even aware of the installation of any water treatment plant there. We suffered water problems throughout my stay in university. Otunuga is asking whether it was installed after 1986. There are a lot of people from University of Ibadan also putting up stories here saying that it's a lot better. It was a lot better during your time, they say, would to be than what it is now. Now, he says, I'll get your name very clearly now. He says that, I must have lost that message somewhere. Well, I can't get your information now, but I think then he said, wrote to me that when the gorilla had died, or the ape, from then on things went downhill The University of Ibadan, he says. But Rotimi, quite a number of things we're still dealing with here also with the food prices before we went on the break.
Yeah, let me just answer that guy.
Yeah, on what's
the
treatment?
Yeah. That Luther was in 88. So that explains why he has no knowledge of it.
Okay, excellent. All right, so I guess that answers the question. Those of you asking questions, if someone has asked me repeatedly to repeat this question to you, wrote to me, but I'm sure that the response to this question will come up. I don't have your name, but it says that. Can we ask Rotimi, since the four refineries seem moribund, can't we put the four refineries for sale, 25% off sale? Can we please remove the subsidy on PMS and rather subsidize education instead, primary through to tertiary, or let's subsidize healthcare? What's Rotimi's case on these? We'll talk about that, I guess, once we get to what's...
For the refineries, you will need 20 programs to go through everything step by step,
right?
Especially in the context of the new the Petroleum Act,
right?
Which a lot of people can't quite wrap their heads around, which is one of the reasons why we have this absurdity of the diesel owners not being able to afford the cost of diesel for their own tankers, and why they are being owed, because they have to buy cash and carry to supply to the sellers, to the petrol stations and things, and they don't get all their money immediately, and then they go back to buy more, and the cost is rising, especially the diesel, and then they don't have the money. I mean, Google is your friend. They've tried to explain all these things about why that sector is failing. But the bottom line is, look, can anybody explain why the refineries cannot work? Nobody can successfully explain it. Why they can't work and why they are being refurbished and maintained with trillions of naira and still don't work. Not one liter of petrol is produced in this country. 1 liter, and trillions of naira have disappeared into refineries. And we haven't started talking of subsidy yet. You know, so that question of petroleum, that's why I said the petroleum minister should come and explain the thing properly so people understand. Because there are only two people that have been two heads of state that have been minister of petroleum in this country, Obasanjo and Buhari.
Right.
Well, and in his case, Buhari was minister of federal commissioner for petroleum under Obasanjo's military regime.
Right, and if you listen to the president and substantive minister of petroleum, he stuck adamantly on his grounds about the subsidy removal, saying I remember he granted an interview to, was it Bloomberg, recently, saying that he's justified in not removing the petrol subsidy because if he had removed it, we'd probably be in the same mess we are with the diesel because the prices are now uncontrollable. So maybe Buhari economics.
Didn't they say they were going to remove it?
Right.
Didn't they say they had removed some of it, and that they were going to cushion it with the impact?
Right.
With mass transit buses.
Right.
Trains and things.
And interestingly, that argument he didn't put forward the argument by the Minister of Finance. His Minister of Finance, who said, this is unsustainable. We cannot continue to borrow trillions of naira to pay subsidy. But I guess he didn't think it was that important, that his minister thought that the plan also was not sustainable. But Ruth, I think we can get into the food wahala before we go into the what the government should be doing in resolving some of these issues.
Well, as I was saying before the break, that hunger is the one thing that can lead to mass unrest. Because already now, the hunger is incredible. Look, Aho, even if a worker is earning 30,000 a month, even if, we've done the math several times on Public Square. If you follow me on Twitter, at Rotimi Sankore, you will see where I've been doing the math on this thing for a long time. The math on electricity, the math on living condition, the math on, you know, that 30,000 cannot take you beyond 1 week. And that is when you are getting it. Because look, what I mean, we will talk a bit more about the water when we get to the local government matter now.
Right.
But in truth, if you have to buy pure water for, you know, you and your family, you know, I mean, the husband and wife are buying the water for them and their kids. 500 naira a day,
right,
to be conservative.
Yes.
That's 15,000 a month.
Just water.
Yes. So you haven't talked of the actual food. You have not talked of nutritious food. You have not talked about transport money to the office. You have not talked about clothes to wear. You have not talked about if one of the children falls sick, and so on and so forth like that. So when food prices start going up, you know, you go and buy something in the market to, you know, I mean, when you talk to people on limited income, you hear wonders. You know, people making soup with 2,000 naira, 1,005.
Wonder.
Which government official is doing that? You make soup 1,005. There is no electricity to store it. So you are warming it, you know, you are warming your beans repeatedly.
Yeah.
Then you have to go to the market every 2 or 3 days. That's why in the night when you are coming back from work, you see people selling tomatoes and all kinds of things at bus stop.
Right.
Because you buy when you are coming back, if you have work. Yeah. And then you do your concussion in the morning before you go, so the children can eat before they go to school. Some parents don't eat.
Very true.
Before they go to work.
Right.
Honestly, to understand these things, you have to sit down with people. Sit down with them half an hour, and hear how they are living.
It's terrible. So a gentleman, a gentleman called once and said he earns 75,000 naira. He spends every month 73,000 naira on transport. He says, how do you feed? He said, by the grace of God. Yes, I can't forget that gentleman. Yes, and there are many people like that, you know.
Yes. So, you know, so the food matter, if it gets worse and gets out of hand, look, remember during the NSAS protests,
right?
During the COVID time,
yeah,
the government blamed it on NSAS protesters and hooligans. But when you saw the pictures and videos of those people coming out of warehouses where the palliative had been stored,
right,
and not distributed,
right,
if you look at those people. Nursing mothers. Nursing mothers, NSAS protesters. Nursing mothers running out of warehouses with cartons of noodles.
Right.
Or bags of rice or something like that.
Yeah.
Some smiling sheepishly. Some at top speed in case somebody gets it from them.
Yeah.
Some clutching the food tighter than the baby on their back.
Right. Right.
I even saw some pictures of uniformed people taking their own food and looking left and right in case anybody spotted them.
Insane. Or, I think we can get quickly to the local government also too, so that we can also see how we can get to this plan out for the government and the people?
I mean, as we have explained before, as we have explained before, the local government issue is one of the biggest catastrophes in Nigeria, in which the governors have crushed local government autonomy, and in many cases dismiss elected officials and appoint administrators, or manipulate the election to the point where a state, a party that is in power in a state, wins 100% of the local government seats.
Right.
Where, of course, you can describe those people as puppets. The overall consequence of it is that the trillions of naira that should be going to the 774 local governments to provide all manner of things just doesn't happen. Hence, people think that local government is inconsequential. But let me just recap in a few minutes. In developed country, local governments build primary schools, build secondary schools, build houses. If you look at, just go on Google or watch any movie. If you see blocks of flats in any part of London or New York, those were built by local government. They call them borough. All those houses you see, they are built by local government. They call them borough. They provide water. Every local government should have water treatment plants.
Yes. Not individuals.
Not individual, not borehole and things. Every local government should have water treatment plant. And it is that water that is piped into your house, the pipe-borne water, so that you can bath, wash, do everything as you should, instead of spending, if you have a minimum wage of 30,000, spending 15,000 a month on pure water.
Good.
The local government should fix your roads and many other things. Libraries in the communities. Good. Remember the poor girls that go to all kinds of places to read in churches and things. One prominent one was Uwa in Benin, went to read in a church, and she was murdered, sexually violated and murdered in the place. All those things are happening because there is no library for the kids to go and read, for the students in the community. Local government should be providing sports center, community centers.
Yes.
Where you can go and learn crafts, play games, meet your peers. In other words, if you look at your community today and it is failing, it is mainly because the governors have crushed the local government system.
Right.
So the NUNGE, the Association of Local Government Employees, are saying that the constitutional amendment reinforcing the financial and administrative autonomy of local government, which is supposed to be ratified by the state houses of assembly, that there is little or no progress there. So that is one of the reasons that NUNGE sat at the table with the NLC and TUC leaders while announcing mobilization for the one-day industrial action.
Very true. Rotimi, you also forgot, very importantly, in terms of planning and development, registration of births and deaths and marriages, so that they can know who is in the community, so they can understand how to plan this year, 5 years later, you know.
All this NIMC nonsense, people clutching at the gate, begging to enter, begging to come out, and things would never happen in any country where the local governments have been empowered to do the registration of births and deaths.
Right.
Because in any reasonably functioning country, you are born, you get your birth certificate, you get your social protection, social insurance number, which is then what they used to plan. Oh, as you are saying, Ahoho, in 6 years' time, these are the numbers of children that will start primary school.
Exactly.
But we only have enough schools for maybe 400,000.
Yes.
But this year, an extra 200,000 have been born. So we need to build classroom proportional to the extra 200,000 that will start in 6 years' time.
Yes.
And we need to recruit the teachers and so forth. Now, I'm happy you raised that, Ahoho, because let me mention, we will expand on it on the World Population Day program.
Right.
But let me just summarize now. As far as the education system is concerned, now, about 7.5 million children are born in Nigeria every year. Primary school enrollment is roughly 5 million. So 2.5 million don't start at all. But by the time you get to senior WAEC, of the 5 million that started primary school, only 1.5 million are taking senior WAEC.
And JAMB.
So out of, so roughly speaking, 6 million children are either stuck illiterate, can't read or write. The new report from the World Bank, supported by UNICEF and UNESCO,
right,
that came out this week, it featured on BBC Africa Focus. They are saying now that up to 8 or 9 out of every 10 children that are 10 years old or less can hardly read or write in West and Central Africa. Imagine the implication of that in Nigeria. Imagine the implication. Now the Federal Ministry, Minister of Education told us 60 million can't read and write currently. So you just multiply. By the time whoever wins in 2023 is leaving by 2031, imagine the catastrophe of a potential 100 million people that cannot read or write.
Right.
And that is the core. That is the core of poverty.
Right.
And a lot of this is happening because the local governments have been crushed. They can't do the birth registration. They can't plan primary school. They can't plan secondary school.
Right.
And then the federal government is telling ASUU that there is no 200 billion a year for all the public university. By the way, the person that sent us that math, I said it is roughly 2 million students in tertiary institution, not 20 million.
Yeah, two million.
He should be dividing the 200 billion by 2 million.
He still
won't give him much more than what he told us.
Exactly. And some people are already coming up with ideas on how to resolve some of this that they see. I see Chooks from Ikeja who says, let's tell President Buhari to use the funds budgeted for the so-called Air Nigeria and channel the resources towards the education strike. Has lasted for months. Otherwise, I conclude that the administration has plans in place to destroy the educational system. And already solutions to some of the problems are coming in from the audience. But we're good to
The air Nigeria itself no go fly because there is no aviation fuel. Yes. Why is Mr. Sirika wasting our money? An airline that won't fly because there is no aviation fuel. They want to put billions into it again.
Oh, boy. All right. So what we're going to do, Rotimi, I think we will go on this break. So when we come back, I guess we open the phone line. So maybe we take the calls and use that as an opportunity to be able to piggyback and then look at some of the solutions to some of the problems. Having already analyzed them, we'll also engage with you on social media. Those of you sending messages on WhatsApp too, we take them in. I see all your definition of what is happening, and it's great to contrast, especially the University of Benin students, what it was like in the 80s. Somebody's put up a message here saying he was in UniBen in 1985 and it was all wonderful and lovely. I'm sure Chima, who graduated from UniBen in 1985, you're shocked at what you're hearing about your alma mater in the year 2019.
It was not all wonderful, though. Well, it has started collapsing by then.
Yeah, well, compared to what he put out, his own description.
Yes.
To what this is different between heaven and hell when you compare and contrast.
Yes. But, I think by 93, 94, 95, the collapse had set in completely.
All right. So, in case you just joined in 99.3 Nigeria Informed Public Square, the NLC is declaring a day of strike action next week. They say they hope the government can step in and resolve the issues which we've talked about Unresolved ASUU strike, rising diesel costs, rising aviation fuel costs, repeated electricity grid collapse, high food prices, lack of progress on local government autonomy. We'll take your calls and engage with you on social media, on WhatsApp, once we're back from this break on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are on the home stretch, what you call the home run, and Public Square. And what a show we've had today, looking at a dashboard view of... don't know how you see it, but it's pretty gloomy. But the solutions, like we've already seen from one of the issues discussed, which is the local government function, will bring the government closer to the people. And many of those functions, like you've already seen, we don't have the local government function in those areas. So Rotimi and I are still with you, and we're going to open the phone lines for you to join the conversation. And each one is guaranteed at least a minute so that we can be kind to the long queue, which is already waiting to have their say. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 only for messages. And on the phone lines is 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. And the female callers call also this line, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. So, Rotimi, I think we can get to the lines now.
Yes, please.
Let's see who we have first to the block. Hello and good evening.
Chifobo.
Great to have you join us, Christopher. See you. Makushi. Please go ahead quickly.
Yala. Rotimi, good evening, sir. Chibobo, you hear the marketers say the next strike of well, whatever, this one that passed is a child's play. Did you hear that?
Go ahead.
The president coming in, he's mentioned how many refineries he's going to build and refurbish the old one. The guy is almost out. Then we're looking for, what did they call this guy? Labor. How many are labor? How many are there in number? For labor. We'll keep on waiting for them. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Christopher Fears, about the effectiveness of this strike. Get on the calls and let's hear what you have to say. Hello and good evening.
Hello. Good evening to you, Mr. Rotimi.
Good evening. Your name, please, you're calling from?
This is Achike from Festac.
Achike, go ahead.
I don't understand why it's like us from here can even see solutions to problem. Like this problem of fuel, for example.
Go ahead.
We have some of these companies that are transitioning to green energy. Why can't you look at the filling station like Total that has the widest spread? You install like solar panels there. You cannot have electric vehicles like based on range. As in, you check, you know, electric vehicles works by range. You check the range to the filling station. You give it to the filling station with the most branches. That's a solution. Then I also want to get you people's opinion, like Egypt of recently working on a nuclear power plant. As much as we like it or not, nuclear is still the future of power. Even Bill Gates, a person that invests on green energy, is like... Nuclear is still the best option, although we don't have a good safety record, but sooner or later we might have to enter nuclear. So I'm wondering on you guys' opinion about that.
All right, thank you very much, Achike. And thank you, you talked about safety. You put the spanner in the works before he started.
Nuclear energy in Nigeria without university that can produce nuclear scientists to run it. Look, if something goes wrong there, it's not just that you won't have lights. You have an almighty nuclear blast that will release radiation for hundreds of miles. Let's not even start. Right. Nuclear plant in Nigeria.
Okay, Achike, you get Rotimi's response to that. Hello, and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Can you speak up? Because it appears you're far away from your phone.
I'm far away from it.
Great to have. What's your name, please?
I want to go straight to the point. Hold on, I want to go straight to the point.
Go ahead.
I don't like what that man is saying there. He's saying half. I don't like it. I am a former SUG person. I graduated from Bayero University. I'm an educator. If I say my name, my students knows me. And I was a member of NAS. I don't like what that man is saying. That the man is giving us half-baked truth.
So what's the truth?
And if I may really ask, was he a lecturer? And which school was he a lecturer before? See, I don't want to say some things online. If I say some things on air, I will bust to the box a lot of persons.
Yeah, but
I will say the secrets and the pieces and everything those. So, this money that they are going for is not going to the students. It's going to pocket.
All right.
It's going to their pocket.
Yes.
There are some things I wanna break down.
I give you 30 seconds to break down very quickly.
Oh, 30 seconds cannot be enough for me, because what this man has said, he has concocted a lot of things that is even the things that the federal government have no hand in, that the schools are responsible for.
Yeah.
He's placing it on them.
All right.
He's very, very wrong.
After Hiru Jega
was our VC.
Yes.
During our time, we sat on a round table with him.
Yeah.
The last time us went to this kind of strike was in 2007.
Okay.
Since 2007 till date, they have never gone to any strike beyond 3 months. Atahiru Jega was the head of ASU as of that time.
Right.
We sat down with Atahiru Jega. We ran a revolution in Bayero University, Kano.
Yeah.
Because there are some in-depth things that is going on in ASU that they are not saying out.
All right, thank you very much. I wish you could pinpoint exactly what, because interestingly, while we've been talking, people from universities across the country. Yes.
Please, can we allow him to tell us where the 200 billion is supposed to be going?
Yeah, that's what
to the best of his knowledge.
But unfortunately, we've lost
the 200 billion a year. Let him tell us where it is supposed to be going.
Yeah, because interestingly,
just give him time. Give him a few minutes to tell us.
He's gone off now, unfortunately. I wish I could get him back. Right? But if you can get us back, I would love you to compose your thoughts and tell us. Because interestingly, while we've been speaking, people from different universities have been painting a picture of abject decay and decrepit infrastructure in the university. So I would love to hear.
I'm confused. if he claims that he was a student union leader, and he does not know the state of the halls in his university.
Yeah,
he does not know the state of the laboratory in his university.
Yes.
He does not know the state of the library in his university. Who was he representing?
Exactly.
Is he suggesting that the ASU is putting the 200 billion in their pocket? By the way, ASU does not run university.
Yeah.
It's the vice chancellors that run the university.
Yes.
ASU is in fact doing the struggle which the students and other university unions should be joining them in doing.
Exactly.
It is the students.
Yeah.
It's the students that benefit from better library, better laboratory, better halls of residence, better lecture hall, not ASU.
Yeah.
ASU are living in their quarters.
Right. So I wish the gentleman can call back, because just to point out what Rotimi said, the needs assessment, which was carried out on the universities, meant that they went hostel by hostel, lecture room by lecture room, and they came up to 1.2 trillion naira necessary to rehabilitate the universities. Of that money, only 260 billion from 2011 till date has happened. So help us understand the magic that could have happened in 11 years without any money put in those universities to make them the citadel of learning. Interestingly, all of the messages we're seeing on WhatsApp paint abject, decrepit facilities from lecture rooms to hostels, which tallies with this. I'd love to hear the Bayero University man calling again. But let's get
Please,
back.
If he calls again, let's give him a few minutes.
Yes,
explain.
I hope
to explain how wonderful the university system is.
Yeah, I hope he can call in again. Hello, and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Aha, great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you're calling from.
My name is Ngozi. I'm calling from Ajao.
All right, Ngozi, go ahead, please.
I would want to say that in no doubt, the university system in Nigeria is in a pitiable state.
Hmm.
I don't know whether this is deliberate, because I knew when all this started, the decays, as Mr. Rotimi pointed out.
Mm.
And what we saw was the springing up of private universities, which when you trace down, belongs to some of these elites that could not, or politicians as the case may be, allow the state or federal universities grow. And what am I saying in essence? Even the body that give accreditation to these private universities, I also fault them. Sometimes you see somebody putting up a story building and they name it a university. Instead of them giving accreditation for faculties, bodies of these schools, in order to spread, rather than somebody bringing up a single building and calling it a university, it makes a whole mockery of the entire system, university. And I think it's high time in Nigeria we also begin to understand that there is a difference between a university and a polytechnic. I think we actually need, aside the ASU struggle and all that, we also need enlightenment different in all these schools and what they represent.
Right.
They are not the same and they can never be the same.
Right, right. Thank you very much, Ngozi. And interestingly, the polytechnics even need more money right now, from what I understand. The laboratories.
Oh, yes.
Laboratories don't even exist in many of them. So I hope we can get the NBTE guy at some point to come tell us the state of polytechnic laboratories. Many of them not functioning. SGG complicit, someone is writing. It says, I'm a student and our labs, there are no machines to work with. He says, for our practicals, please, can you get... Yeah, I wish we can get the man back online, but unfortunately, we've lost his connection. Let's see any more message before I get back to... Someone writes in, I was in Uniben between 1976 and 1980. We were treated like princes and princesses. Our lecturers were the best. Motivation was very high. That's Albert. I am currently an undergraduate at the University of Lagos. Each hostel has at least double the number of students allocated to it. UNILAG has about 8,000 bed spaces for 30,000 students. You can do the math and see how many people have beds or will not have beds. Someone has done the math of where he lives in Ogun State. Mowe, he says, and he's spending more than 3/4 of his salary on transportation. Thank you for giving us a description of how things are with you. Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
I'm David from Georgia.
David, please go ahead.
I want to say that the university in Nigeria is not far from
the quality of this call, I fear for you, David. Where are you? Are you close to... There's a lot of noise around you. Better. Just stay where you are.
Okay, I'll say the quality of the universities in Nigeria is very poor, and it's all fall down to the government and the body that's supposed to have done what they are supposed to do. I stood in the University of Kasako. All I saw was just trees everywhere, but the university itself was just rubbish. Our hotel were rubbish, as in everything was rubbish. I like what Asha has said, and we should continue.
All right. Thank you for your comments. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great.
Hello.
Good to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Good evening. Hello to me. Permit me to remain anonymous, please.
All right. Go ahead.
I just want to respond to one of the previous callers, particularly also to make certain clarifications.
Okay.
I was a student, leader, also a member as well. At least in my own, between the time this young man talked about 2006 to 2007. And that was actually, of course, about 9 months of a strike that we witnessed. But it is wrong for anyone to talk about us. For example, I think you pointed it out or not immediate, quite clearly. It is the duty of students to actually protest and demand for certain things that ordinarily the lecturers are helping us to do. These are staffs of these institutions. Ordinarily, are staffs. They shouldn't even be the ones calling for certain things that they're asking for. I went back to my school, which is Lagos State University that I left how many years ago. The same seats, the same chairs, the same board hardly. Of course, there are certain new buildings there, of course. But can you make mention of anything like that anywhere outside Nigeria? We were at a conference at the University of Nigeria, Asuka, 2001 to be precise. Most of the students that came there would say that if they were to tell somebody that this is where they graduated anywhere, nobody would believe them. And nobody would want to go back to that kind of institution if you have ever stepped outside Nigeria for either a postgraduate program or even within Nigeria and you know what is going on outside. The reality is that it is a sham. The moment that Cordelia talked about saying whether it's deliberate, if you ask me, I would say it is deliberate. It is part of the agenda of the elite to deny the less privileged opportunity of having access to public education. They have destroyed primary and secondary. Their intention is to destroy the tertiary institution completely so that we will have access to education. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Anonymous. Interesting, all the former student union leaders calling on this show, Anonymous, they wrote to me.
I don't understand why.
Okay, so maybe there's something I don't know. But hello, and good evening.
No, because when my generation were student leaders, we didn't even have radio station to call into.
Sorry, caller. So, okay, caller, you can go ahead now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, let me quickly drop it.
Go ahead.
Look, I will not tell you. I wasn't that much that you did not allow or you didn't take that guy on.
He went off. I don't know, unfortunately.
No, you do those kind of things. You don't allow to go like that because he's the one misinforming the public. He is the one misinforming the public because the statistics are out there and the evidence is there for people to see that the funding of our universities has become more like something like the mystery. What the Professor Olenka said, that that the factor in Nigeria that trivializes the best of dreams. So most of the time these monies are pumping and they are not accounted for. As it is now, you cannot lay hold to one university in Nigeria that is involved in research and development. So that this particular body manufacturing or this particular machine or this particular whatever or this particular sector is being developed by this university or came out of this university or this invention. Nothing like that. So if we begin to look at the advanced world, the aliens, Oxford, go and check them very well. Most of what the society is enjoying came out of them because they look into it, they do research, and they come up and government keep funding them. And our own, there's nothing like that. I will share handout textbook and graduate student and most of the equipment there that are outdated. You can't go to the university and see for current journals. Current journals on economic pattern, like an economic student, The first time I saw a current journal of on economics was in a private university. So it's a sorry case. It's a sorry case and it's very sad. I don't think we will continue like this.
All right, thank you very much. Interestingly, that money was released for the needs assessment. It also includes stuff like research and inventions. We have about, I'll take one more call and then we can say our final goodbyes. Hello and good evening.
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, you are the man from Bayero University, Kano, right?
There is something he said. I am not actually an SUC leader.
Can he give us his full name, please?
If I say my name,
can he give us his full name?
But Rotimi, he wants to go anonymous because he doesn't want to.
Very well.
No, now.
Very well.
No, he can't be misinforming the public and he's anonymous. He has to tell us his full name.
Okay. Number one, the overcrowded rooms. Number two, infrastructural management. Number three, IGR. Now, when you come to the overcrowded room, sir, I will tell you the truth that the federal government have no hand in students' rooms being overcrowded. They seriously have no hand in it. there was a certain amount of money that had been given out to dish out to the school to build hostels and everything. Now there was an agreed number of people by the board that this room is going to take 4 or 5. Now, during the time, due to I need more money and everything, the school collects more than necessary and fix them in this room. This government is not aware of this. Now, it has come to a level whereby even the most of the students now don't even live in the school. They have what we call off-campus and off-hostels. So now if you go to these hostels now, there are barely few persons you see there. There are mostly people who have little or no money at all. They squat there. Now, you can't blame government for this. I don't want people to start blaming government over their own issues. These are school issues, not government issues. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is infrastructural management. Somebody said something about the old chairs that they saw there and what we are seeing now. Federal government has no hand in this. I will tell you where federal government has its own fault. Federal government has no hand in this because there are things that is something we call the IGR. The school generates their own revenue. There are, if I want to come for my own school now, 2007 alone, Byron University generated $385 million just internal generated money. Now my question is, what did they use that money to do? I'm not talking about school fees. This is outside school fees, because school fees, there is a quota that is being refunded to the federal account.
This guy needs to tell us his name, please. You can't be anonymous while saying things like this. If he's confident, you should say his name so that people can follow through. It's wrong for somebody to
what I want to say in 30 seconds.
The government has to do management. In things happening in university, but you will not say who his name is. If he is suggesting that there is corruption in the Bayero University,
So I have his number now. So I'm going to call him after the show, and see if we can also, because we're out of time, and I don't think we'll probably won't be.
You see, essentially what he has summarized there is that. In his own opinion,
right,
that there was corruption in the Bayero University administration,
right,
or that there was incompetence in the Bayero University administration.
Hmm.
What does that have to do with ASU's request that the laboratory should be refurbished,
absolutely,
that the library should be refurbished, that the hostel should be refurbished, and so forth?
All right, we have to go on a break now.